Chicago sports conversation is now.
Let's go, the Bears.
Trubisky rolls and throws. Touchdown, Victor Cruz.
Just be consistent, move the ball with the offense, show command in the huddle at the line of scrimmage.
The Beat.
Charged by Sandoval, off-balance throw, and Contreras is hurt.
It's difficult to not have his name in the lineup, all the wonderful things he's done all year, and especially since the All-Star break, what he means to us, even his energy.
On 720 WGN.
Getting down to it now. It's getting real. It's The Beat. Mark Harmon, he's Harry Tino, it's Dan Long producing. Congratulations, Chicago, and especially Chicago Bears fans. The worm has turned, it's early, I get it, but the Bears look like they have a quarterback. Mitch slash Mitchell Trubisky is going to turn this city upside down, Harry Tinowitz. I'm being slightly hyperbolic, but overall, I generally believe that it could happen, that Mitch Trubisky will be the quarterback that the Bears have been waiting for seemingly forever, certainly since Jim McMahon. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. Great to see you. Love that you're wearing the Arlington Million T-shirt. I believe that's a horse race, and it's going on today.
It is a horse race going on today. Hi, Carm, at the Carm, if you want to follow him. Please do. There's less aggravation in his life if you do.
That's right. At the Carm on Twitter. At Hey Tweet Harry.
Right. We're with you till 7. Okay, so I agree with everything you said with Trubisky. Trubisky does everything right. The snap was over his head. You know, I don't think that I think there's very few guys on the Bulls that would have been able to jump up and grab that long snap that went over his head for the fumble that Denver got.
I thought that snap was over Glenn's head.
Over Glenn's head. Trubisky did nothing wrong. He completed his first 10 passes. You're absolutely right, it was over Glenn's head. I'm trying to think what Trubisky did wrong. Nothing, whether he is setting up a secret dinner in Chapel Hill or driving the team down the field with 2 minutes to go in the role of closer quarterback or taking them 75 yards down the field. This guy, he's finding his wideouts, his tight ends, his running backs. He can roll out. He can throw on the run. He can avoid the sack. I love the spin move. I don't know how you plan on keeping this guy on the bench. This guy should be starting relatively soon.
You're right, and that's a big part of the conversation right now. Adam Hogue is going to join us at 4:35. The Bears have yet to move Mitch Trubisky up. Don't worry about the starter spot. That's still Mike Glennon's. We'll get to Mike Glennon in a little bit here. But they haven't even moved up to be the backup. They still have Mark Sanchez as the backup, and Mitch Trubisky is your third-string quarterback, which is ridiculous. But I'm trying. I don't care where he's listed right now. We all know where this is going. And I made a major sacrifice on Thursday night, Harry.
Yes?
It was the eve of my 44th birthday. And if there's one thing in life I love to do, Harry, what would that be?
Birthdays.
Play tennis. Close. And I had my Thursday night match, but I was filling in for Nick DiGiulio doing the overnight, and Justin Kaufman asked me to come on and talk Bears at 10. And so I said, all right, I have to. On the eve of my birthday, I normally would watch a Bears preseason game. I would DVR that all day, go through it before the show. But here I said, I at 6 o'clock, I was like, you know what? I can't do it. So I called up the tennis crew. Hey, guys, can't make it. I got to take in the first start of Mitch Trubisky's career live.
You had to.
I gave up tennis for Trubisky.
It was a big moment. I can't believe that I missed your birthday yesterday.
I was going to bring up, because I wasn't 100% sure, because I haven't gone through all my Facebook things. I got a text from Dan Long. I got a text from Todd Manley. I got a text from like lots of people. Hey, Tweet Harry, nothing on my birthday. I mean, you're the most sensitive, caring, reaching out, sweetheart of a man, and to not get anything from you on the birthday. I was like, I was wondering if you were alive. It's not your game.
I blame myself. I don't know. Maybe I was just preoccupied with John Lackey going to the rubber.
Huge win.
And now that I know, I will never miss your birthday again. Was it special?
It was special.
Cochran pop out of a cake?
Cochran did not pop out of a cake. It was a birthday show for the Steve Cochran Show yesterday, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrea Darlis had a birthday as well. And they brought in lots of cake. And I kind of caused a fit on the air on the overnight, how they always bring in cake. And like last year I did the overnight too. I mean, can Carmen get a slice of cake? And they, Dave Ennett, my hero, made it so. And I got myself a piece of cake because our great sports director was looking out for me. Thank you, Dave Ennett.
See, I can get cake all the time. It's the shifts that I have trouble with.
I miss you, man. I know that I did. So anyway, the point is that I'm watching, as we rewind back, I'm watching the Bears game. Normally it's a preseason game. It's like, the borderline makes you wonder why you even went into the business of doing radio. It's so bad. That's a little bit over the top. But this was like more exciting than any regular season game they had last year. It was down to the final play. I was happy that the Broncos scored and we'd get one more shot at Trubisky to see if he would lead him down the field and punch it into the end zone and then go for two. I was loving Bears preseason football.
I think it's great that he got the experience of having to take the team down the field with 2 minutes left, with only two timeouts left in the game. And I saw, you know, at the start of that game, it was awful. You know, not even a minute in, and Denver's got a pick six, and they're up 7-0, and there's a bunch of penalties on the Bears, and here we go again. But not only did Trubisky look good, but a couple other picks looked pretty good. Okay?
Tariq Cohen looked good.
Tariq Cohen looked very good, the young man out of North Carolina, AT&T. And,
A&T, is it AT&T?
AT&T. Yes, it's American Telephone and Tynowitz.
I believe it's A&T.
No, it's AT&T, Cohen.
Okay, fine, it's AT&T.
And I thought,
so it's here in North Carolina, A&T. But we're going to make it AT&T because I think that's a better name for that college,
right.
And you're helping them out.
All A&Ts have always been AT&T.
North Carolina AT&T.
Yes. Baby Gronk looked good. Adam Sheehan looked pretty good. What do you want him to do?
He dropped one pass.
He looked pretty good. It looks like he can play. And knowing that Deion Sims is a baller, I don't think Zach Miller is going to make this team.
He might not. They might save money there.
He dropped a pass.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not
Leonard Floyd. Last year's top pick looked damn good.
He did. He flashed early. Got himself to the quarterback. Took down Trevor Siemian, the former Northwest Wildcat. Never want to see Trevor Siemian on the ground unless it's against the Bears, and that was beautiful. Leonard Floyd's put on a lot of weight, or at least some weight,
mm-hmm.
And that's a guy that he should be doing good things. His number 9 overall pick. They traded up to get him. The whole thing. But it's about staying healthy for a Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, you know, and the one guy who, like, I can't say anything positive about because I'm not even sure he was on the field was Kevin White.
Yeah, you know, I watched the game, and that's the thing about watching football, right? There's so much going on, and if you watch football like a media person does, you're also watching Twitter, and so it's like you got to watch the game 3-4 times to actually digest what happened. And I'm looking at the stats after the game. Kevin White's not even listed.
No.
He wasn't even listed. I was like, was he out there?
He was out there.
I'm like, I swear I saw him.
See all the other Bears that had catches?
Yeah, every single person who played on Thursday night had a catch, except for Kevin White, who's very confident, by the way. Just ask him.
He is, and he switched his number.
Yeah.
So that could be the key for his turnaround.
Yeah, that was... That was too bad. Maybe he'll do better next Saturday night. They're back at it.
Arizona.
Preseason game number 2, Arizona. I want to talk. There was a lot of good. I do want to mention the one thing that wasn't so great coming back here after this quick timeout, if you don't mind, Harry.
No, we can do that.
I mean, I know I want to. I love being positive.
Yeah.
Positivity.
There you go.
It's key.
Yes.
What happened with the Arlington Million today? Did that run yet?
It has not run yet.
What time does it run?
It runs a bit later. The coverage is, I think the race goes off about around the 6 o'clock area.
6 o'clock.
I can get an exact time for you.
Speaking of the Million, when I think of horses, I want to send get well wishes to Eddie Olczyk, who is battling a little colon cancer. which is obviously a serious thing. Edzo has anybody who's met Eddie Olczyk loves Eddie Olczyk. He's stellar individual, and I have the utmost confidence in Edzo that he will take down the old colon cancer like nothing, Harry. But that's a big time deal, and Edzo, we're thinking of you and all that. I'm rooting him well.
Eddie O is a winner. Eddie O wins everything he does. He was the third player taken overall in the whole world. He was the third player taken in the draft. Local boy, selected by the Blackhawks. How cool is that? Part of the Rangers Stanley Cup championship team in 94. And now he's part of the NBC crew. He would be on this broadcast today. He'd be on the Arlington Million broadcast. He's part of the Triple Crown. He's part of the Breeders' Cup. Does a great job. Takes long shots. Doesn't always bet the favorite. Eddie O is awesome, and you get better, Eddie O. You beat this thing, and we can't wait to see you back and, you know, bringing the Hawks a much better season than they had last year.
Thinking about you, Edzo. All right, we will move on coming up here. Two of the best teams in the National League square off in prime time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's an Anthony Rizzo and a Goldschmidt of a Paul Goldschmidt. Cubs versus Diamondbacks tonight at 7 on WGN-TV Sports. Everything was great except for one particular thing on the Bears' opening preseason game. We'll talk about that next. 720 WGN. Can't believe the eclipse is an actual thing.
Oh, it's going to be the biggest eclipse.
I mean, I talked about it on the overnight show. Tell me why this is a big thing. People went nuts. They were just, come on, man. It's going to be dark for 3 minutes. Who cares?
You know all about the eclipse.
What do you mean by that? This is a shot at me, isn't it, Harry?
Why would you assume it's a shot at you? I'm saying you're a bright guy. You know all about the eclipse. How long has it been now that you've had total eclipse of the heart?
Total eclipse of the heart. I love
Once upon a time, there was love in my life.
I love a good eclipse in the middle of the summer. All right, Adam Hogue's going to join us in about 2 minutes here. But let me just get to you. Let me give my one, and it's a very obvious negative. But the Chicago Bears knew they were drafting Mitch Trubisky. They knew it. They were going to trade up to get him. They gave up picks to do it. They went from 3 to 2. They wanted to make sure. They loved him. They knew for a long time. But they still went out and paid a bunch of dough, $16 million plus this year, for right. Mike Glennon.
Right. Worse out to, I think they're on the hook for $18 million total. $16 million this year, right, and $2 million for next year. And then they could be off the Mike Glennon circuit. And, you know, maybe Mike Glennon's playing differently if they draft any other player but a quarterback there.
But, okay. And Mike Glennon, it's only one preseason game.
Right.
There's, he had a quarterback rating of
I saw zero.
Now, Dan Long, our producer, who's not a good quarterback, if he went out there and spiked the ball every play the way quarterback rating works, he would have a quarterback rating of 39.6. If he just spiked the damn football, it takes to get zero, you have to negatively impact the team, which is exactly what he did throwing a pick six. But by the way, just to let you know, the pick six part, the pick matters. The six doesn't. They don't even factor in. If you throw an interception,
right.
That hurts the rating. But what happens after the interception doesn't. So he was actually worse than zero.
Do you blame any of that on the O-line?
No, he threw in a triple coverage. I mean, it wasn't great, but come on. You're Mike Glennon. The Mike Glennon thing is just, I'm sorry. There's no way around it. It's a bad look. They could have kept Brian Hoyer. They could have kept Matt Barkley. They could have signed Colin Kaepernick. They could have done a gazillion things.
Mm-hmm.
They paid $16 million plus, $45 million, whatever it was. Adam's going to join us exactly, give us the proper numbers. I should know it, but I don't off the hand.
$18 million that they're committed for.
Yeah, for what? Why would you do that?
Because at the time, they knew they were getting rid of Cutler, and they needed, they identified, that's the guy they identified.
Yeah, well, okay.
We all thought they were going to draft a defensive player. We all thought they were going to draft somebody other than a quarterback.
But they knew what they were doing. Swinging him as strike three, I'm sorry, it's not a huge deal on Ryan Pace's report card, but that you get an F on that one. And maybe it'll change, but I don't think it's going to. All right. Adam Hogue, you got any problems with anything I just said? I'm sure you do.
Well, just that you are totally overreacting to 8 passes being thrown. The guy threw 8 passes the other night.
He was so bad.
Yes, he was really, 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 really bad. It was 8 passes.
He hasn't...
Settled down, dude.
He hasn't... Why hasn't he been on the field for 2 years?
Because they drafted Jameis Winston.
Right. Okay.
Are you mad at Tampa for taking Mike Glennon, knowing that they were going to get Jameis Winston?
Here's what I love. It's not just you, Carm. I love everybody in the city so much. You guys complained about Jay Cutler for 8 years,
yeah.
Okay? And now you want, and you said, we need a new quarterback. We need a new quarterback. Then you hated the fact that he drafted or traded up one spot to get Trubisky. And now you're mad that he tried to get 2 quarterbacks.
He could have.
Why not get 2? Why settle for 1?
I'm not saying.
Have you ever watched the Bears? The quarterbacks get hurt every single year over and over again. If you think that they're going to play 1 quarterback this year, you're nuts. Someone's going to get hurt.
I'm not saying they shouldn't have gotten a second quarterback. Paying $16.5 million for Mike Glennon for 1 year is ridiculous.
Do you know how much cap space the Bears have right now, even with Mike Glennon on the books? They have $22.9 million that they could spend tomorrow on anybody and be under the cap.
So go out and get some
good players. Who cares if they're spending the McCaskey's money on a quarterback?
It doesn't make any sense. Go out and get some receivers. Go out and get somebody for the secondary. Overpay. Don't bring in Mike Glennon.
It's sad when you think about the quarterbacks that never made close to $18 million. That's the investment on Glennon. It's
and by the way, it's market value. You know what? It's over market value for Mike Glennon. They overpaid. I'm not going to lie about that. They did, but for a starting quarterback in the NFL, that's like average money. So if he plays like an average starter, I think he's going to play better than he did the other night. But if he plays like an average starter for 1 year, it's fine.
Can't play worse.
It's a different sport, but people didn't realize how big the Alex Avila trade was until Contreras got hurt. Without Contreras, they said, oh my God, what a great necessary trade that was. Instead of just having a rookie as the catcher, we got a guy that's been to 4 playoff series.
Did you watch?
4 playoff years.
What did you think of Matt Barkley last year?
Matt Barkley, not a lot.
I thought he was horrendous at the end of the year.
But he started out, he was halfway decent, showed some signs. What did you think of Brian Hoyer?
Hoyer was okay.
Okay, so you could have either of those guys.
Hoyer was good in Cleveland.
You could have had either of those guys for a quarter, a fifth, a tenth of the money. Why would you go? It's a ridiculous concept that they thought that Mike Glennon was good.
Glennon's got a much better upside.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Dude,
he is never going to do anything.
Hoyer's 31.
How old is Mike Glennon?
He's been a career backup even more so than Mike Glennon has.
Glennon's 27.
Brian Hoyer proved last year that he's a very good backup. That's what he proved. He's not an NFL starter. Mike Glennon, you didn't know yet. You still don't know.
You're making the vein in Hogue's neck pop out.
Okay, I get it. It's 8 passes in a preseason game. But nobody right now, and I get that the fans don't matter and the media doesn't matter, but right now nobody wants to see him throw another pass.
So, Adam, you know, are they still going with the idea that he's going to play 16 games and that this is just a learning year for Trubisky?
Well, I'll tell you this. The messaging sort of changed. It's hard to, you know, with John Fox, you never want to take everything he says and put it in stone. But today he was asked directly. You changed the quarterback depth chart. And he said, we'll keep you posted. That's a big difference from a week ago, and Mike Glennon's definitely our starter. So I think the messaging did change a little bit, as it should. My bigger issue is, if we're just going to look at this more on a micro level from what happened Thursday to today's practice, sorry, Mark Sanchez. Go away. Sit on the sideline during practice. Trubisky should be taking more reps. They still had him split up today evenly. Trubisky was still with the third team. I think that's counterproductive at this point after what you saw the other night.
It's ridiculous.
Out of the shotgun, Glennon on 3rd and 8. Pressure from the outside. Glennon puts it up. It's intercepted. And it is brought back by Chris Harris down the sideline, and he's in for a touchdown.
Mike's the starter. This is his team. I was just able to get a lot of reps tonight, and there's things in that film that we could all learn from each other's reps, and it's all about just getting better at this point. So, I mean, it's the first preseason game. We still got 3 more preseason games to go.
Mitch Trubisky doing a great job learning from Mike Lennon, who had a quarterback rating of zero. I've never seen a zero before. Again, if you just drop back and throw the ball into the ground, your quarterback rating would be 39.6. Glennon went zero on eight passes. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz, and he's Adam Hoge joining us now to talk a little Bears. One quick text here from the 312. Harry, I'm very disappointed in you. Carm has one birthday a year, and you missed it. Run over to Walgreens across the street on the break and buy him some sushi or something. Come on.
I am a fan of Walgreens sushi, surprisingly.
It's underrated.
It is underrated.
Mm-hmm. You don't need to worry about getting me any sushi.
I got your gift right here.
What do you got there, brother? No, this is not a gift for me, for the record. I don't deserve it. This is, you brought in something to drink for yourself. You don't need to give that to me.
No, my Snapple happens to be in the same bag.
Oh, it's a good-looking Snapple right there. Oh, what is it? What's in this bag? Oh, my God. There's we got an M&M fun size milk chocolate family pack here.
Mm.
This is for Harry.
In case you want to start a family.
Yeah, in case I want. What was that commercial with the frozen food? I don't have a family. I'll be over tomorrow. I'll be over tonight at 7. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. With
like the giant
Al Molinari. Yeah. Like some frozen banquet, I believe. I'm going to go with banquet.
I don't think it was banquet. 312-981-7200. What was that? Somebody's got to know. Thank you. Take back your M&Ms. Hey, all right, Adam. What happened today at, the third to final day in Bourbonnais, correct?
It is the third to final day at Bourbonnais. Mike Glennon dropped back to pass on his first throw in team drills and threw a beautiful pass down the left sideline to Kendall Wright, who caught it. It was probably Mike Glennon's best deep ball that he's thrown in all of camp. So he responded well today, I thought. It was, they weren't in pads. They had kind of a light practice today, a shorter practice, still recovering from the game the other night. But, your guy Mike Glennon.
I heard he was 11 for 11 today, Mike Glennon. He was incredible.
11 for 11.
Well, hold on a second. Let me read your.
I saw one. There was one point where he was.
Hang on.
That might be a tweet that said he was participating in 11 on 11 drills.
No. Hold on a second here. Hold on a second.
Because at one point he did have five incompletions in a row.
Hang on. Your guy, Jeff Dickerson.
The best. He's awesome.
Your guy, too, Harry. My guy, too. I love JD. Mm-hmm. Hang on a second. Let me find this tweet. It's. I'm sorry. You're right, Hogue. After forgettable preseason debut, Mike Glennon was much sharper Saturday, completing every pass attempt in the Bears' opening 11-on-11 period.
So, yeah, okay. Which is usually 5 to 6 snaps.
Okay, so it was he was perfect in 11-on-11. He wasn't 11-for-11. I was generally close.
The offensive line could be stronger, Adam. When do they suppose Kyle Long will be good to go? We expect him out there opening day against Atlanta?
It's starting to look that way. Today they were not in pads, and Kyle Long did more of the team drills. So and he has been doing that the last few practices, getting out there a little bit more and more. I would not expect him to play in Arizona next week, maybe by the third preseason game, or maybe they hold him out for the entire preseason. I would think, though, that they would want him to get out there for at least one game, if possible, because he is switching positions. If he was still at right guard, his familiar position, I would say just keep him out the entire time. But, maybe get him some work in Tennessee in that third game, which is 2 weeks from tomorrow. So he still has some time. That would not surprise me at this point with the way he's been coming back kind of slowly every single day. So I think he'll be fine. But you're absolutely right about the offensive line. And John Fox was quick to point that out today. Mike Glennon, sure, he played poorly. He also had – there was one drop, at least one drop on his throws. And while he made an absolutely bad read on the pick six, you got to dump that underneath. You can't be looking deep and in. He was looking deep instead of shallow when he had a guy right in his face. But both Charles Leno and Tom Compton allowed pressure on that play from the left side. So he had to get rid of the football. He just got rid of it in the wrong spot. So that's definitely on the quarterback. But Charles Leno needs to play a lot better.
The answer, by the way, was when you want more, it's encore.
Damn. Banquet, encore, so close.
I mean, I think it's kind of – Banquet maybe might have been encore.
Mitch
Trubisky eats – I bet he grew up on Encore dinners, just getting himself ready to go. Their meatloaf and like a Salisbury steak.
But nobody knew where he would eat.
By the way, Trubisky Trubisky looked normal again today. Or not normal, but like just sort of average. He has not been like... the way he looked the other night was stood out so much to me just because we have not even seen that guy in practice here. There have been a couple throws here and there where I go, wow, that's, you know, no one else on this field can make that throw. And you certainly see those moments. But, you know, back here today in Bourbon A, it was just sort of like, eh, okay.
So you're saying that when the lights are on, that's when Mitch shines the brightest?
Maybe.
We like that. We're used to having it the other way around.
Exactly. So how many training camps did Jay Cutler win down here? I think he was 8 for 8.
He's Miami's problem now.
Go Cuddy.
I saw Zach Miller drop a pass, and he's had some very productive, though injury-plagued, seasons for the Bears. Knowing that they made the move to get Deion Sims and what they think of Adam Sheehan, do you think Zach Miller makes the Bears?
You know, it's a question I've been pondering. Look, they drafted his replacement, Adam Shaheen. There's no question. But it's not Adam Shaheen who I think is going to be could push Zach Miller out. It's the depth at that position. I would recommend, you know, keeping Miller, keeping Deion Sims, keeping Adam Shaheen just for depth purposes. That's a pretty good three tight ends to have. But the question is a guy like Daniel Brown, who played late in the season last year for the Bears and played okay, or Ben Broniker, who's in his second year now with the team, if one of those younger guys really, really stands out, then that's where I start to worry if Zach Miller makes the team. Because are you going to keep – if it came down between Zach Miller and one of those young guys who's pushing, are you going to keep the 32-year-old with a lengthy injury history, or are you going to keep the younger guy who can help on special teams and help you in a couple different ways? So that's really where the question with Zach Miller comes in. I think he's great for the locker room. I think if he's healthy, he can still play. But you do have to wonder if he can make it through a full season. So I'm interested to see what happens with Zach Miller in the coming weeks.
312-981-7200. Let's get back on point here. Has Mitch Trubisky changed your life? Do you think that you finally, after all these years, let's start naming quarterbacks. I name a quarterback, you name a quarterback, you name a quarterback. Starting with, I'll go with Matt Barkley. Harry, go.
Oh, my God. Why are you doing this to me? We'll say Will Fuhrer.
Hogue?
We're just supposed to name some random quarterback?
Great Bear quarterbacks, or
Cordell Stewart.
I.e. terrible Bear quarterbacks that have, since Jim McMahon. Let's continue on with
the... Who's the Ohio State one that won the national championship?
Craig Krenzel?
Craig Krenzel, yes.
He's a dentist.
P.T. Willis.
I was going to use a P.T. Willis. Moses Moreno.
Moses Moreno was amazing.
Oh, he was terrible.
I hated the stat. They used to, every time they play the Packers, they'd show quarterbacks the Packers have had since 1990 and the quarterbacks the Bears have had. And the Packers would just have Brett Favre. And the Bears would have 172 guys listed.
Kyle Orton.
Caleb Haney.
Kyle Orton was good.
I liked Kyle Orton, as I liked Jim Miller, but come on.
Eric Kramer was good for one season.
Yeah, this is a vintage Bears quarterback. Like, the best you can get is...
Steve Sandstrom.
Oh, Steve Sandstrom.
That Todd was Collins.
Todd Collins, yes! Who was the guy that...
Todd Collins forced to play against the Giants.
I guess that was Todd Collins. That was like a huge game, and Todd Collins was
He won
there.
A game in Carolina.
Cade McNown.
Cutler had a concussion.
Cade McNown.
Rex Grossman. He didn't know the playbook. How about Brian Greasy?
I mean, it is a cavalcade.
Chris Chandler.
Chris Chandler, son-in-law of the great John Brody.
312-981-7200. Text in your favorite Bears quarterback. This could be the end. This could be the start of a 10-year run. I mean,
I was telling someone this today. Guys, I'm not even sure if John Fox and Ryan Pace understand the significance of what happened the other night at Soldier Field. Because John Fox just got done coaching Peyton Manning. Okay. Ryan Pace had Drew Brees in New Orleans. They've had quarterbacks. I don't think that they understand the amount of people who are sitting in Soldier Field, whether it was in the stands, in the press box, or, you know, the McCaskey family in their box, whatever. I don't think that they can connect with what happened Thursday night like everyone else can. Because it was just, you're sitting there and you're watching and you're going, this is really happening in this building? There's a quarterback wearing a Bears jersey that is absolutely bawling out right now. That doesn't happen.
Because John Fox got to the Super Bowl with a Jake DeLome. So, you know, he thinks it's about the team. He, you know, he doesn't realize what it means to Bears fans to have a quarterback like this. I think about how we were dancing in the streets the day that they traded for Culler.
Yeah.
In theory, that was a spectacular move by Jerry Angelo.
And everybody applauded it. And still in hindsight, I don't think you can go back to that day. And it certainly didn't work out, but I don't think you can look at the deal and be like, that was a terrible trade.
Jonathan Quinn weighing in on the text.
Jonathan Quinn, medicine woman.
Johnny Quinn. For the record, I didn't love the Cutler deal on the day it was done. But
I loved it. How could you not love it?
Because
this is the same thing we're talking about right now. We were quarterback poor.
You have to understand, I'm a wimp. I generally am afraid of moving forward with things. So when they moved forward on Cutler, I'm like, I actually kind of liked Kyle Orton. I thought Kyle Orton was decent.
And Kyle Orton did nothing the rest of his career.
You can't say he did nothing.
He came back and beat the Bears. Came back and beat the Bears, right?
No, he got hurt on the first play of that game, and then Tyler Palko came in and threw a Hail Mary that the Bears didn't knock down.
The left-hander from Pitt?
Yes.
That Tyler Palko?
That was the one game that Tyler Palko ever won in his NFL career.
That was the worst football game I've ever watched in my life.
Tyler Palko got a win for the Chiefs.
They lost by a point.
The Bears lost to Tyler Palko. Those days are over. Mitch Trubisky.
Those days are over.
Any hoagies?
Actually, yes. Let me. Yes. Eddie Jackson today, rookie out of Alabama, said that Alabama's training camp is harder than the Bears' training camp.
Come on.
He said it, but I'm going to defend this actually for a second because I've covered college training camps. Now, this is the first year you can't do two-a-days anymore in college, but I guarantee you Alabama's training camp is harder than an NFL training camp. The CBA now doesn't let you do anything. And in college, up until this year, and he was at Alabama last year, you could have two-a-days. They could grind you into the ground. So I actually kind of understand what he's talking about, but it didn't come off very – if you just read the quote, you're probably like, wait, what?
They're gonna make him do, like, extra work tomorrow.
Yeah, baby.
Alabama's probably got a bigger payroll than the Bears.
They're in the mix, right? Very, 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 very tight.
So will Eddie Jackson start on this team ahead of Amos?
I think so. He's my bet right now to be the starting free safety next to Quentin Demps.
I think he looks great. And they were singing his praises, and I haven't seen it yet, but apparently he's a great punt return guy, too.
Yeah.
You know what Eddie Jackson does? He takes you to the football.
It's also a great name, Eddie Jackson. That just reeks of a guy who's going to get things done.
Go look at his college tape. There's some great returns, not only just in the punt return game, but when he gets an interception. He had a pick six last year that I think it went most of the field. Off the top of my head, the Texas A&M tape is ringing a bell in my head, so maybe that's the game. But he is impressive when he has the ball in his hands, not just on punt return, but if he can intercept the football, which he does have good ball skills. We've seen it down here in Bourbonnais. That's why I think he's going to be the starter. That's exactly what that defense needs.
For people that are thinking about coming down to Bourbonnais to see Mitch Trubisky, when's their opportunity to do that, Adam? Two more practices.
Tomorrow's the last one.
Okay.
Monday's practice is closed to the public, so tomorrow you got to come down. It's a 10:30 practice. Pads are back on, so it's a good day to come, and it's the last chance to do it. And the fans were really into number 10 today. They were cheering every time he got out there. You can imagine.
Hell yeah.
He's the dude's a legit hero.
Who's your favorite 10 in Bears history?
Ronnie Lester. No, he wore 12. Favorite 10.
He's not a Bear.
In Bears history, favorite 10.
Yeah, he was left-handed for me. Bobby Douglas.
Bobby Douglas. I don't have a favorite 10.
I can't even think of a number 10.
Cordell Stewart, you mentioned earlier.
There you go.
Did Dennis Gentry wear a 10? No, he was 29.
Which they will retire for Tariq Cohen.
Bears.
He's another rookie.
I like Tariq Cohen. Guy looks good. Runs with conviction. All right, Adam, we will see you tomorrow, 3 to 6, right here on this very radio station, 720 WGN. Will you be coming back from Bourbonnais, or are you going to do the show from down there?
I will still be down here because there's a practice Monday as well. But I'll tell you what, one guy who's on that show tomorrow, Jared Payton, you should have seen him after the game Thursday. He was just running in circles around Soldier Field. He was so happy.
JP likes to jump on board when things are good.
Hey, let me give you a quick...
thick and thin, man. JP, don't imply that. I'm inferring from that you're saying that JP goes south when the team does. That ain't accurate.
Yeah, no, let me restate that. JP has wanted this team to be good forever, and now that he actually has a light at the end of the tunnel, like the rest of Bears Nation, that there actually is one, everybody, people should have been joining JP running around Soldier Field. Yeah. That's what should have been going on.
He was just really giddy. It was fun to see. Let me give you a couple quick injury updates, too, because these are somewhat important. Nick Kwiatkowski suffered a concussion the other night.
I saw when that happened. They didn't really talk about it. It was obvious that he was he did not see. It was helmet to helmet. It was pretty violent.
And they had to flag him from upstairs. It wasn't even the Bears who took him out. That was one of those where they called down from upstairs and made him come out of the game.
It's good they can do that.
Jonathan Anderson, linebacker, suffered the worst of the injuries the other night, but it was just a high ankle sprain. It looked like it could have been worse, but high ankle sprains, that's usually a few weeks, so he's going to be out for a while. One good news, Kadeem Carey, by the way, played a great game the other night.
Mm-hmm.
All over the field.
Yep.
All over special teams. He ran the ball well, too. He threw a block on another offensive play downfield, but he did have a quad injury that he did not finish the game. It turns out that that happened on that play early in the game where the Broncos got flagged for a low block. The helmet went right into his quad, so he actually played through that injury. He did not practice today, but the fact he was able to play through it is an indication that it wasn't that serious, so he should be back.
It's not looking good for the Spartan dog, Jeremy Langford.
Haven't seen him.
Yeah, where is Jeremy Langford?
He's supposedly down here. Have not seen him since the report day.
Well, what is that? Not that I really care, but, I mean, what is that?
He rolled his ankle.
A year ago at this point, he was the starting running back.
Yeah. I still think he's a good player, but if you can't be healthy, if you're not healthy, you're not helping your team, so I don't know where he is.
Okay. All right, Adam, great stuff. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, see you guys tomorrow.
Adam
Ho. Bye, Adam.
Down in Bourbonnais. Quick timeout. We have an important thing to do coming up here at 5 o'clock. It's very important. We're going to start a movement. We need your cooperation, and I think it actually is key in the Bears getting to where they want to go. And we're all going to be involved in it. 720 WGN. Don't forget, there is Cubs baseball tonight. We will do Cub Talk coming up at the 5 o'clock hour.
Big game.
Yes. Big game, big series, terrified of the Cardinals. We'll be okay. Right?
Yeah, I hate the Rally Cat.
The Rally Cat's a terrible thing.
Yeah, you know, I've...
Do you remember the Rally Squirrel in 2011?
I hate squirrels.
Do you remember the Rally Squirrel?
Yes, I do.
They had the whole Rally Squirrel thing going on in 2011. They won the World Series. Now they're what have they won? 7 in a row, whatever it is. And they're down a run, and the cat runs on the field, and then Yadi Molina, it's a grand slam, Rally Cat. These are the crazy things that happen in a baseball season that change things.
They can't find the cat. They're looking all over St. Louis.
I think they did locate the cat now.
They found the cat?
They found the cat, yeah. Cat has been located.
And then yesterday, Fowler hits a grand slam.
I hate cats.
You hate cats in general?
Cats are the worst.
Well, I'm a dog guy.
You're a dog.
Right, I'm a dog, but I don't hate cats. My neighbors have a nice cat, but they're not as cool as dogs.
I'm allergic to cats. What do you do with a cat? Can't play with the cat.
No.
The cat just sits there in the corner.
Right.
It's got a litter in your house. House stinks. I'm a slumlord. People call me up like, hey, can I have a cat when I'm moving in? No, you can't have a cat. I'm not going to have some smelly cat in my house, and then I got to disinfect it. Sorry, you're out. No cats.
How do you feel about Garfield?
Garfield's a great cat, but that's not really a cat. That's Garfield. It's a whole other thing. All right, we are going to start a movement at 5 o'clock. We need your participation. It's important, and it involves the Chicago Bears and their quarterback situation right after the 5 o'clock news, 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon, 506. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tino. It's Dan Long producing. Thanks for being with us this Saturday. Beautiful afternoon. We have an opportunity, Harry. This is an opportunity for all of us It's an opportunity for WGN. It's an opportunity for you right now to make a difference on a very small scale, but it could be a big thing. The first preseason game of the year was phenomenal. Mitch Trubisky was great. He gave life to a franchise that's been needing it forever. But I think going forward here, we have to make a distinction, Harry. I see it written Mitch and Mitchell Trubisky. And what we need, as far as the Bears quarterback is concerned, is somebody who is solid, who is stable, who has foundation, who can stand the test of time, who can do your taxes and can also be your quarterback. So Mitch is like this cute, you know, who was Mitch in Dazed and Confused? It's like that type of guy. We need, and I think from now on this show and on this station, I want to have the quarterback of the Chicago Bears be named Mitchell Trubisky. Mitchell. To me, it sounds a lot more solid. And 312-981-7200, I think we should take calls right now and just address him as Mitchell.
Where do you stand on the Mitchell fight?
It's got to be Mitchell.
He's on record as saying he doesn't care. And like Andrew Shaw, the Canadian, used to be on the Hawks. He cared.
Right. He's being nice. That's fine. But if you look at the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Harry.
Yes.
Who's your greatest quarterback of all time? You want to say Joe Montana?
Joe Montana's won the most Super Bowls. Tom Brady.
Okay, so was Joe Montana Joe or was he Joey? He was Joe.
But he wasn't Joseph. He wasn't his birth name,
but
Joseph.
But he was solid. He was Joe. It's not Tommy Brady. It's Tom.
But again, it's not Thomas Brady.
But Mitch is just, it's too funny.
Who's the greatest middle linebacker in the history of the NFL? He wore number 51 for the Bears.
Yeah, his name would be Dick Butkus.
Richard.
That's a great name.
Not Richard.
But it's a great... Mitch is cute. Mitchell is solid.
Who's the second greatest Chicago Bull ever?
Brett Favre.
Who's second greatest Chicago Bull ever?
Scottie Pippen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and how many problems... How many problems did Scottie Pippen have off the court? How many problems did Scottie Pippen have when he didn't...
How many rings did Scottie Pippen win here?
That's fine, but... This is the NFL. This is a quarterback. It's got to be Mitchell. Mitchell Trubisky. That guy wins games.
Did you want him to be known as Bill Williams? Not sweet swinging Billy Williams?
Again, different sport, different position, different requirements.
Mr. Cub, Ernest Banks.
Ernie Banks would have been better if he was Ernest
Banks. Let's start with your, how about Bobby Hull? Bobby Hull, the Golden Jet, Tony Esposito.
Again, you're missing the point. This is the
Eddie Olczyk,
quarterback in the NFL.
All right, so let's just
Mitchell.
Do Bears. How about the Super Bowl Bears?
It's
Michael Singletary. It was Mike Singletary. It wasn't Michael.
Mike is fine. Mitch.
So Mitch is fine.
Mitch is just it's just too.
Daniel cutesy. Hampton.
Dan is a solid name. Dan.
So is Mitch.
Mitch is... I don't take Mitch serious.
Stephen McMichael.
312-981-7200. Would you take Mitchell or Mitch more seriously? Mitchell. Right in the window there, Mitchell. If you were going to date somebody and you were going to introduce him to your family, you'd want to call him Mitchell. This is Mitch. Mitch is a guy who is going to like steal something from your house. Mitchell is going to like build your house. You want Mitchell. Go with Mitchell. It's better. 312-981-7200. I want a movement here for Mitchell Trubisky.
Did you want him to be known as Will Gault?
Did I want him to be known as Will
Gault? Yes,
I think. Wow, you're really trying to break down the walls on why are you fighting Mitchell? Mitchell is I'm trying to solidify the position, Harry.
I am elated how good this guy played Saturday. I want to run rings like Jared Payton. I'd like to run like Jared Payton. I'd like to run, but you know to say that Mitch isn't a winner, that's crazy.
People are, you're just not getting it. I can't help you if you don't get it. This could be the difference in a Hall of Fame career and a guy who's just a guy.
Yes.
Mitchell is going to the Hall of Fame. Mitch, snitch. There's, you know, there's just...
Is there someone named Mitch in your life that's giving you a hard time?
No. There's no Mitches. 312 saying Harry's got Carmen on the ropes. No, he does not. I am not on the ropes. I believe in Mitchell. I'm telling you, this city wants him to be Mitchell. 312-981-7200.
I want to think of more. Where do you stand, like on a Jimbo covert?
I stand that he's an offensive lineman, and it doesn't matter. That's fine.
Oh, offensive linemen don't matter.
I am looking
What in the name of Thomas Thayer are you talking about?
I'm talking about the leader of the team. It's Tom Brady. It's not Tommy Brady.
But it's not Thomas Brady.
Yes, that's right. It doesn't – I don't – there is a – this is the it's choice. Mitch, Tom and Tommy are – it's like Mitchell and Mitch. Which one are you going to choose? You go Mitchell.
How about Johnny Unitas?
Johnny Unitas.
Wasn't Jonathan Unitas.
Johnny Unitas.
Yes.
The way Unitas rhymes with Johnny, it worked. But in Trubisky.
Unitas doesn't rhyme with Johnny.
Mitch Trubisky is a mechanic. Mitchell Trubisky is in the Hall of Fame. There's a difference. Nothing wrong with being a mechanic. That's probably what I'll be in about 3 weeks.
One of the great Charles Bronson movies ever.
Yeah.
The Mechanic.
Great movie. 312-981-7200. Should he be Mitch or Mitchell? Jennifer, welcome to 720 WGN. Jennifer, hang on a second. Jennifer, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. I think you got it all backwards. Mitchell just sounds like a wuss. It reminds me of a little wimpy boy in grade school. Come here, Mitchell. And I don't even watch football, but this conversation is cracking me up.
Wait, hold on a second, Jennifer. If you were going out with a guy and he'd be like, hey, I'm Mitchell, versus hey, I'm Mitch, you'd rather go out with Mitch?
Definitely.
Mitch just sounds like a worm, someone you can't trust. Mitchell.
No, Mitchell. Mitchell's just wimpy.
Yeah, kind of was like Jennifer. I like where you're going. I like where you're going there, Refinage.
I appreciate the call, but and thank you, Jennifer. We love you, but I mean, come on.
Love you too.
Thank you. No. I appreciate it.
Jennifer spelled backwards is Refinage.
Right, Jennifer. That is a solid name.
Jenny isn't.
Jenny's a little more fun, and Jenny's a little. Jenny's out at the bar at 2 a.m. Jennifer is in the library getting it done. That's what's going on.
First of all, what's wrong with being in the bar at 2 a.m.?
There's nothing wrong with being in the bar at 2 a.m. unless you're in the bar at 2 a.m. every night, Harry.
Well, what if you're in the bar like 5 nights a week at 2 a.m.?
That's a problem. 312-981-7200.
Yeah, there you go. Long Dan Long. See, it's a cool name. Jenny, I got your number.
I'm telling you, we have an opportunity here. Right, exactly. Jenny, I got your number. Jenny's giving out her number. Jennifer... You got to earn it. Jenny's giving out 867-5309.
That's all Jenny's given out so far is her number. Yeah,
Jenny's from the number right to the punchline. 312-981-7200.
Jerry Sloan. Did you want him to be Gerald Sloan?
Jerry
Sloan.
Jerry is
his number hangs from the rafters at the United Center.
A J is not going to become a Gerald. Mitch is with an M. You have the Mitchell opportunity, or then you're just like a Mitch.
Hey, Ozzie Guillen, isn't his name Oswaldo?
Ozzie Guillen would have been more solid and might have kept his job with the Marlins if he was Oswaldo, if I may. That's a little bit.
Whoa.
That's a little wrong.
Whoa.
Tom, welcome to WGN. Yeah. Mitch or Mitchell?
It's definitely Mitch, all the way.
Mitch is a snitch.
Mitch is rich.
Mitch is rich.
And the reason why is it's football, and we don't go with formal given names when we call a player.
What do you mean not formal given names? What about Jameis Winston? Philip Rivers.
Your only argument, which you haven't brought it up yet.
I got
you. The only argument is Michael Jordan instead of Mike Jordan.
Right. Mike Jordan,
There's a football one, too.
Right.
Yeah.
But Walter. In this instance, in this instance, we're calling our quarterback, you know, Jim McMahon, not James McMahon.
I
so
love
we're going
you.
With Mitch Trubisky, not Mitchell Trubisky.
I can't believe
Tom, you're dead on.
Tom,
yeah, too many syllables.
Tom, thank you for helping me out on my point that how do I leave out the greatest Chicago Bear of all time wasn't Wally Payton, he was Walter Payton.
Agreed, but do I need to go through the Super Bowl?
I'll agree with that. There's exceptions, and I'll agree with that. But in this case, being that it's a rookie, we're going to go with Mitch.
Right. So you're putting him as a rookie. I'm thinking down the line here, Tom. Mitchell is not a rookie. Mitchell is ready to play now. Mitchell unseats the sorry Mike Glennon and Mark Sanchez. We're rolling right now.
Call Daniel Hampton.
For a Bears quarterback, Mitchell is too formal.
Yes. Are you doing the show with Daniel Hampton again on Sundays?
I'm doing the show with Dan Hampton.
Edward Obradovich?
If you want to bark up Dan and Edward.
You're telling me that Mitch should be Mitchell. So therefore, in your eyes, Dan should be Daniel.
Ed Obradovich is O-B. It is as solid as they come. And Dan Hampton is Danimal. The Hall of Famer. Yes.
Harry, I think you'll agree with me that there are some exceptions, you know, Walter Payton.
Mm-hmm.
However, in 99.5% of the cases for professional sport athletes, you go with the common name rather than the formal name.
Tom.
Could not agree with you more.
Tom, thank you for the call. Appreciate your input.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Bye now.
Can't believe I can't get any momentum on this. 312-981-7200. Brian. You're my guy. Hello, Brian. Welcome to 720 WGN. What, Mitchell, right, Brian?
Mitchell, for sure. Mitch is who you call your mechanic, your bus driver, whatever.
Bus drivers are awesome.
Right.
Well, I know. They're great people. But that's who you call your buddy, your friend, the guy at the bar. Mitchell is – this guy's going to be distinctive. You've got to have a distinctive name. So – nothing short of that, Mitchell
Trubisky. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you. Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, Carm, did you want him to go by Stephen Kerr?
Mark Carmen, great name. Harry Tynowitz, decent name.
Steve Kerr, not Stephen Kerr.
Steve Kerr is solid, but he's not Stevie Kerr.
No, but he was Scottie Pippen. How about Chelly? You want him to be Christopher Chelios?
Chris.
Christopher Chelios stood him up at the blue line.
Chris is solid. Mitch is...
It's the same principle.
No, Mitchell.
Mitch and Chris are the same.
It's not the same.
It is the same.
Christopher's too long, and it's a pain to... Mitchell just takes you to that next level. I'm hiring Mitchell. I believe in Mitchell. Mitch, again, I think he's going to, I don't know, steal the change out of my car. Something along those lines.
How come there aren't other great Mitchells in sports? Mitchell Page? I'm trying to think of other great Mitchells.
That's another thing. It's distinctive. He can be the first and the only. Mitchell, Trubisky, when you say the word Mitchell, you only think Trubisky, and you think Hall of Fame, and you think Super Bowl champion, and you think Bears.
I think Lou Mitchell's.
720.
They give milk duds at breakfast. I mean, how cool is that?
That's really cool. 720 WGN. Great ones coming in on the text line for you, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Blackhawks. Jonathan Taves. It's not John or Johnny. It's Jonathan. Patrick Kane, Duncan Keith. It's not Dunky. It's Duncan Keith.
Wait, the Duncan Keith calling me Duncan. But sticking on the Blackhawks, Bobby Hull wasn't Robert Hull. Tony Esposito. How would it have sounded if fans were chanting Anthony, Anthony, Anthony,
Anthony Rizzo, Michael Jeffrey Jordan,
Eddie Olczyk,
Mitchell Trubisky, that guy is going to the Hall of Fame. Mitch is going to be a backup for the Chargers.
Should we book Scott Pippen? Should we get Scott Pippen on the phone, ask him what he thinks of this? Billy Williams is one of the greatest Cubs ever. Ron Santo.
Ron Santo.
Right, not Ronald.
Ron is solid. Not Ronnie. not Ronnie. There's Ron Santo. There's Ronnie Woo Woo. Who do you want to be? I'll go Santo. Saw Woo Woo at breakfast this week, by the way. He was having a nice pancake. Mitchell Trubisky.
Pancakes. Woo! Sausage. Woo! Syrup. Woo!
Voice,
syrup.
Voice,
woo!
Voice ain't there anymore. I'm
sorry to hear it.
Yeah. Guy's a legend. All right. 312-981-7200. Should we call the Bears quarterback Mitch or Mitchell?
Oh, yeah, that's how we got started.
I mean, it started out, this topic started, if you're just joining us, I think there should be a movement that his name is Mitchell Trubisky. It is solid. It is meaningful. It is someone you can depend on. Mitch, you can't trust him. He could go a million different ways. That guy is someone that you have no idea who he's in bed with. Mitchell is solid. I go Mitchell all day.
Daniel Hampton doesn't sound right. Stephen McMichael, no. Michael Singletary, no. How about this?
Dan Hampton is a solid name.
And now we bring you Doc Coach Michael Ditka. Sounds horrible.
Mitchell Trubisky, I'm sticking to my guns. Alec, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hello?
Hey, yes. Alec.
Hey, what's up? I have to say I like Mitchell better. But really, I mean, when it comes down to it, I don't care. As long as he gets the job done, he can be called Tina Trubisky. And I love it.
Of course, Alec. Yeah. But we are
more power to you, Alex.
He's sitting there. He doesn't know what to be called. He doesn't care. He's trying to be nice. Your name is Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback
of
the Chicago.
Yeah, I'll give it to you, Mitchell.
Thank you, Alec.
Alec Strong. Strong call.
312-981-7200.
We heard Notorious B.I.G. coming back. You know, it should have been Notorious B.I.G.G.E.R.? No.
Patrick Sharp. I don't know what the reference is on the Notorious B.I.G.
I'm just saying big.
He was also Biggie Smalls, though.
Right, Biggie's, which is cool, Biggie.
But Notorious B.I.G.
Right, but
solid. Not,
but it wasn't bigger or biggest. It was big. It was Biggie.
It was Ted Williams, not Theodore. I understand, but you understand.
That's my argument.
I understand.
It was Ted Williams.
But it wasn't Teddy. Mitch is just way too cute and non-believable. Let's get...
Would he have taken the country by storm if he were Joseph Namath? No.
Joe Namath is solid.
Right, like Mitch Trubisky.
It's not Joey Namath.
But it's a one-syllable breakdown of the proper birth name.
You're missing the Mitch to Mitchell.
Judge Long. He's not answering my question, Long Judge Long.
Let's get John in here, 720 WGN. John, Mitch or Mitchell?
Yes. Yes, sir. Got to be Mitch. Mitchell sounds like a deodorant name, and it sounds like a guy that's going to put it down instead of take a chance to pass it. If it blitzed like Mitch, Mitch the bitch, that's the way to go, my friend.
Wait, how do you get deodorant name?
I don't get that one, and thank you for the call, John. Not Johnny. Thank you.
Am I the only guy in America still likes the deodorant spray, by the way?
Yes, that's terrible. It's bad for the ozone layer. What are you?
What do you mean it's bad?
It pops little holes in the ozone layer. Get yourself a roll-on, stick-on something, something. Get a little speed stick, a little Old Spice.
I like the spray.
Last one, Sharon. Hello, Sharon. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi. I think it should be Troob. There's no question. It should be Troob or Truby, you would hate, but Troob.
Troob.
Look at you, Sharon.
Yeah, Trubisky.
Sharon, don't go off the board here. Mitch or Mitchell?
She's going off the board.
I'm sorry. I don't like Mitch or Mitchell either.
Did something bad happen in your life with a Mitch or a Mitchell?
No, I just don't like it. It's just not common, and I don't know any other sports star named Mitch or Mitchell. Do you?
Mitchell. That's the point. I don't.
And Mitchell Page.
This could be the first one.
Kevin Mitchell.
Mitch Unrein. Lame defensive lineman for the Bears.
Whoa.
Mitchell.
Okay, I go with Mitchell before Mitch.
Thank you, Sharon. Mitchell. 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 Bears. If Mitchell Trubisky played for the Cubs, Madden or Coomer would call him Mitchie like Addy and Johnny. Doesn't matter. Mitchell from the 630 is the guy who rats you out to your girlfriend hoping to steal her away from you. Mitch is the guy who punches Mitchell for doing it. Thank you, 630. That's pretty accurate.
That's cool.
So a lot of people are weighing in here about whether it should be Mitch or Mitchell Trubisky. I see you out there in DeKalb, Bill Finucane. Thanks for the text, my brother. And, all right, let us move on to the Chicago Cubs, Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get into my disappointment in the skipper this week in Joe Maddon, can I just take your temperature? How are you feeling? One game up. The Cardinals are red hot. Wilson Contreras, of course, is out for at least a month, it appears, maybe more. Yeah,
which is tough. Not only has he been the best Cub since the break, he's been one of the best three players in baseball since the All-Star break. But, boy, Theo and Jed, Mr. Hoyer, Mr. Epstein, what a brilliant trade that was to get in Alex Avila here, because he's been in four straight years of playoff games. And he crushed one last night. He hit one deep over the center field wall in Arizona. He's he's not Wilson Contreras, but he is a solid, bona fide catcher. And Maddon pointed out when they got him, they didn't get a backup catcher. He'll be the backup here. But this is just a great trade. The guy they got him with has not pitched well. Justin Wilson has not been good so far on the mound, but I think he'll be good. My temperature on the Cubs, I'm as positive as ever. They look like themselves. Chris Bryant kept getting on base last night, three hits for KB. And I'm feeling pretty good. You know, Schwarber is still hitting a .195, and that was only his second RBI in 3.5 weeks. But he crushed it.
I thought the Schwarber actually looked a lot better last night. He worked one count 3-2 and hit a bomb to center, mm-hmm. 416 feet away. That would have been a home run at Wrigley Field. And then he hit one last night as well. So I thought actually Schwarber had a better night. The Chris Bryant thing is interesting, and I want to get to my Maddon thing in a second here. But when do you think is the last time that Chris Bryant has hit a home run?
Been a while.
Yeah, see, it has been a while, and the point that I'm making here is when he ripped up his finger, and his last home run, by the way, was July 30th against Milwaukee, but between July 17th and August 11th, my birthday yesterday, he's hit one home run, one, and I think the finger
very un-Chris Bryant-like,
he hit four home runs in all of July.
Is it the finger or the ankle?
Yeah, I mean, as compared to, you know, he had seven.
He's the reigning most valuable player in the National League.
Right. He just hasn't been at that level. But I just think the finger's bothering him more than he's talking about it. It certainly seems to be impacting his power. But here's my Maddon beef. And this is, I'm going to say this, admittedly is a little bit unfair, but I also think it's accurate. Joe Maddon, about 2 weeks ago, was asked on the pregame show about Wilson Contreras and giving him a day in the middle of a hot streak. And he said, you know what? I thought about putting him out in left field, but I decided that he actually needs his day. He needs his day off. So I'm not going to do that. It's also hard to tell the other outfielders. We got a bunch of guys who want to play. It's hard to tell them that, hey, you're sitting again and Wilson's out there. So Cubs start going into this. That's what he said. These are Joe Maddon's words. Then the Cubs start going into the tailspin.
Mm-hmm.
They lose 2-3 to the Diamondbacks. They lose 2-3 to the Nationals. They're on the verge of losing 2-3 to the Giants. He's already played him one time in left field, which, yeah, you're not catching, but you're running around a lot out there. You're putting a lot of extra strain on those legs. And so then he puts him at first base day game after night game. You're asking, in my mind, for trouble. And unfortunately, trouble came. They rolled the dice, and they lost. And you can say that injury could have happened at any time. And Joe Maddon, by the way, sits. He keeps the lineup fresh. He sits guys.
Right. He's got.
It's kind of his thing. However, his main key guys, Rizzo's out there all the time. Bryant is out there all the time. If a reliever starts rolling, he uses him a lot, i.e. Aroldis Chapman last year. Wilson Contreras, same situation. needed his bat in the lineup, wanted to get Avila in there, day game after night game. Most catchers get a day off there. Wilson Contreras plays about 178% out there. He rips it down the line, you know, on a ground ball in the infield. He's running to first base as hard as anybody. I think that he went outside himself. He said it a week ago. Wilson needs his day, but then the team started going a little bit of a funk, and he pushed the envelope, and he lost.
I disagree with you. Circle gets the square. I think when you have a guy playing as great as Wilson Contreras, you got to keep playing him, especially when you're losing, four out of six at home and splitting with the Giants. You can't say it was Madden's fault that Wilson Contreras got hurt. He didn't get hurt, you know, crashing into a wall or in a collision. He got hurt running to first base. That could happen any game. If it didn't happen that day, it could have happened the next game. He could have had the day off and it would have happened. You know, people want to, when Derrick Rose had the big injury against the 76ers, game one in the playoffs, people got so mad at Thibodeau. Why was he out there? You're up by 12 with less than 2 minutes left to go in the game. I think that, you know, the NBA, guys can make up 12 points in a heartbeat. So I think that was wrong. But to me, that has more merit, being mad at Thibodeau that Rose was out there with a 12-point lead less than 2 minutes. That has more merit than being mad at Madden. This wasn't Madden's fault that Wilson Contreras got hurt.
Whose fault was it? No one's fault? It just happens?
Yeah. Guys, okay. It's a hammy. He's in great physical condition.
Would you agree? Okay, let's. You want to look at his game log? Let's look at his game log.
He plays a lot.
Yeah, and he's. Would you agree with me that in general, day game after night game on a road trip.
Usually you switch catchers.
Yeah, you're giving him the day off. You don't play the catcher in the same basic week. You play him in the left. You play him behind the plate. I'm going to put him at first. Just haven't played a ton of different positions. By the way, go run. You lug it down the line, too.
He's probably...
They were asking for it, man. They were. And unfortunately, it happened. I'm not saying, like, it's not a fireable offense or even, you know, it's a 50-50. But I think they were asking for it.
This is what Joe Madden does. Chris Bryant learns to play right field during the season. Okay? He moves guys around.
It's different, though, from being behind the plate. Way more stress being a catcher. Third to right, okay. I mean, it's still asking.
But there are teams who play their catchers at first base rather than give them the entire day off. And again, for a team that hasn't, the Cubs have not been knocking in runs. The Cubs have been doing a bad job with men in a scoring position. You've got your hottest hitter is Wilson Contreras. You need to play him. I can't get mad at him. Now, you make a good argument that there's lots of outfielders, and so why is he playing left field when there's lots of outfielders? Again, you want to, you know, I think Madden's thing, and want his bat in the lineup. I love Alfred Almora Jr. Albert Almora Jr. He scored the winning run in the World Series, deciding game. He hardly plays because John Jay has been so hot.
John Jay's been great.
John Jay has been spectacular.
But exactly, like, I'd rather see John Jay in left and Almora in center and give Contreras a day off and keep him healthy than run him out to left field. And by the way, he played a very good left field. He really did.
Yeah, but he's got a great arm. Okay,
he can run.
Here's what's weird about Contreras. He's probably the fastest guy on that team.
He's up there. I don't know if he's the fastest, but I mean...
Is there another... Who's faster than him?
KB is faster than him.
I don't think so.
I
don't think KB is faster. KB is probably the best base runner on the team.
KB's fast, man.
He is fast.
He has long legs.
I understand that.
KB covers a lot of ground.
Is there another team that's the fastest player on the team is the catcher?
I mean, Hayward's probably right there with him too. But Wilson Contreras is fast. He's the level that guy hustles down the line. It
reminds me of you with the ladies.
Easy 312-981-7200. Curious where people are at on the Cub. Do you blame Madden at all for Contreras? And who's having like Cardinal panic? I'm having Cardinal panic.
Can I also point out the yellow and black? The Jolly Roger, the Pirates are playing very good baseball.
I mean, it's a four-team race right now.
I think it's a three-team race.
You think the Brewers are done?
Yeah. The Brewers made a trade. They got Neil Walker today.
You can't rule Milwaukee out. They're, what, three back? Brewers are three back. The Pirates are 3.5 back, and the Cardinals are a game back. Fun, fun, fun. Got Cubs and Diamondbacks coming up. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. John Lester on the bump for the Cubs tonight as they look for to win their second in a row over the Arizona Diamondbacks. I'm Mark.
Very good team, the Diamondbacks. Headed to the playoffs, looks like.
D-backs took 2 of 3 from the Cubs last week. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. This is 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Talking about Joe Maddon and playing Wilson Contreras in left, at first, at catcher, and whether or not he deserves at least a percentage of the now 4 to 6 weeks on the DL Wilson Contreras. Also, just curious if people are feeling the Cub confidence. Let's get Gene in here on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Gene.
Yeah, I just wanted to hear what you feel about Anthony Rizzo and the way he's hitting the ball. It's like he's not even seeing the ball. He's swinging it. Everything and missing it by inches.
All right, thanks, Gene. I've all season long, I've been basically crushing on Rizzo.
Yep.
I mean, I think he's been phenomenal. Now, in the last couple of games, has he slightly gone the other way? I suppose, but Rizzo, the way Rizzo does the choke up on the bat with two strikes, and somehow, some way, just finds a way to either A, just punch it onto the green, or go the other way, or drive the ball with two strikes on him. I think he's been incredible.
I think that's great. And that's a Bill Buckner thing. Bill Buckner was one of the best hitters for average in all of baseball. People remember him for letting the Mookie Wilson ground ball go through his leg. But Billy Buck was one of the best hitters in baseball, and he used to talk about how you choke up when there's two strikes on you, and Rizzo does that. Rizzo's solid. Also, they were talking about letting the rookie start behind the dish tonight, talking about replacing Contreras, but Alex Avila will get the start for John Lester.
Right, Avila's going to catch Lester tonight, and I think, I just saw crossing on Twitter, Cubs lineup is out. Hang on a second.
Almora leading off in center.
We got an Albert Almora leading off, followed by KB batting second at third base, Rizzo at first, Zobrist in right, so we'll get a day off for Jason Hayward, who's been driving me crazy. And Ian Happ bats fifth at second base. Schwarber in left hitting sixth. Baez at short, also driving me crazy, hitting seven.
Come on.
Avila hitting, catching and hitting eighth. And Lester on the bump. So, what do we got? A lefty on the mound tonight in for the Diamondbacks at Corbin? Is he a lefty? Is that accurate? Kerry, do you know?
Yeah, left southpaw.
Right. Right, so that's why Avila is all the way back in the eighth spot. All right, there you have it. Joe Maddon making yet another. I think this is the first time Almora's hit leadoff all season long, if memory serves.
Yeah, I like Almora a lot.
So do I.
John Jay, has been fantastic. John Jay has been just what the doctor ordered. What do you reach basically about 10 times in a row? Five hits in one game, 5 for 5. It's pretty impressive. And John Jay also is great at coming in on balls. He made a nice sliding catch to take away a hit the other day. I like Elmore. I'm surprised. I thought Elmore would be the regular center fielder this year.
So did I. But John Jay, and I always want the youth out there. I'm all about youth, Harry. You're so youthful. It makes me smile.
Yes.
But John Jay has been so solid. Drops down a bunt when you don't expect it to happen. He's been great in the outfield. Comes through with huge hits. Drives. That signing has been an underrated, under the what is the words that I'm looking for here, Harry?
Under the radar
signing was John Jay. It's been a classic Theo. Jim, welcome to 720 WGN. What's up, Jim?
Hey, I just wanted to touch on the Wilson Contreras deal.
Yeah.
You can blame Maddon for a lot of things, like his ridiculous managing in the World Series last year.
That was pretty bad.
From taking Hendricks out early to putting Lester in with guys on base when he can't, throw over to first, to, overusing Chapman. But to blame him for Contreras getting hurt, a guy in his early 20s, athlete, playing baseball, come on, man.
Did you hear him? Did you hear him the week before, though, talking about, you know, I was thinking about playing Wilson in the outfield, but I just decided, you know what, Wilson needs his day. We got to give him a day off. We got to keep him fresh. Yeah. Then they start losing games, Jim, and he changed his mind.
Keeping fresh, they're pampered like you wouldn't believe. It's not like they go to a real job every day for like over 30 years. They're playing baseball.
But you can't compare it to real jobs in real life.
You can. It's baseball. Come on, they're playing a kid's game. And I just want to touch on one more thing with that Hawk Harrelson talking about, you know, the Cubs dugouts joke. Come on, millionaires, it's hard to squeeze your pajamas on and go play a 10-year-old game. I'm sorry, Hawk. Life is hard, man.
Jim, what do you have empathy for in life? Where are people allowed to complain?
They're not allowed to complain. It's a privilege to play baseball for a living for millions of dollars.
Jim, they've earned the right. And, you know, I think it's crazy that the great players of my youth, you know, never made $1 million. And, you know, a lot of these guys are making millions to be backups. But they, you know, it's full-time job now. I mean, they're working out like they've never worked out before. Baseball players never worked out.
Jim, what do you do for a living?
I'm a garbage man. I'm 54 years old, and I'm doing houses.
Are you hiring?
So, yeah, I don't have any, you know, empathy for millionaires playing a kid's game.
Well, God bless you.
Jim, hold on. Do you drive the truck, or are you on the back?
I'm not like a Chicago driver where they got three guys drinking beer in the truck. You got to do it
all yourself. You tell me Chicago garbage men are drinking while they're working?
Yes, they are. That's what I was trying to get at. I was trying
people,
to catch.
And they're telling people not to have, you know, put, don't you dare put ketchup on that head tag.
Hey, would you, by the way, would you pick up a snake tank, like an aquarium? Would you pick that up if it was left by the garbage basket?
Yes, you got to take everything.
Okay, because we had a yard, my daughter had a yard sale, her Japanese class, we're trying to raise money to go to Japan, and that didn't sell. And we put it out there on Monday, and they said, no, we can't take it today. We got too much stuff on Monday. Try it again Thursday.
Where do you work, Jim?
In the suburbs.
You don't want to say which one?
Burbs.
Well, I have a different route every day. Shanahan, Shorewood, Lamont, whatever, you know.
Okay, so you have to actually, you drive the truck, you get out, you get the garbage, you get back in. You do all that. All right, well, Jim, you can complain about all these guys all you want. You're doing real work, fine. I allow it, Jim, not that you need me to allow anything.
Did you ever find anything cool in the garbage?
No, not really.
Never found like a ring or a hand or anything?
We had the one guy in Lockport that cut his wife up and put her in the garbage. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's aggressive.
John Rao. Yeah, he forgot the double bagger.
Don't get mad. Get glad.
Hey, Jim. Jim, is recycling working in the burbs or is that a hoax?
No, it works.
It does. Okay. That makes me feel better. Okay, good. All right.
Hey, can I ask you one more garbage question?
Sure.
We got squirrels that bite their way through the top.
What is this, the Lou Manfredini show?
Big fan of Lou.
So am I.
You've been dissing on Lou Manfredini?
No, I'm not. I would never. He'd kill me.
The lids. The lids need to be stronger. I know it's not your department, but we got squirrels that, you know, that bite their way through. The garbage men give us a new can, and they bit their way through the top. It's disgusting. They come out. They pull out, you know, the garbage. The napkins everywhere.
Yeah, I know, Harry. I don't know what to tell you about that. But, you know, they should actually, more people should bag their garbage because that's what those blue strings are for.
We bag
it. To tie this stuff up, you know, not just to, like, throw it on top of the garbage and hope it don't fall all over when the guy goes to pick it up.
Ours is bagged and tied, and still the squirrels will go rip through it. Once they rip through the top of the cans, no problem ripping through the bag.
Jim, do you have a website?
No.
Okay.
There are a lot of garbage men that have websites?
I don't know. At this point, like, I think Jim's like a legit like guest of the show, and so he should promote everything that he wants to promote. I don't think when he called up that he knew that we were going to delve deeply into his career like we have right now.
I didn't know that we had.
The biggest thing is to tie the garbage, and if you're going to put a bloody mattress out there that looks like a crime scene, please put plastic on it.
Huge.
You see blood stains the size of Texas on there, you know, and People slept on them things.
Jim, I'm uncomfortable.
Did you ever get, like, the chalk outline?
You can see, yeah, that's what it looks like. Or, you know, you throw a couch away and you look at your gloves and they're covered in hair. And then people were sitting on that, you know, in their house.
Well, Jim,
I wasn't aware that we had a list of questions.
Jim,
we could
don't
ask
be a Jim.
Ask.
Don't be a stranger. Whatever you do, all right.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it,
Jim.
Our
thank
pleasure.
You.
Thanks for making it. 312-981-7200. That was awesome. I mean, if you're gonna do that for a living, you want to say that baseball players should play 162 games and catch and play left and play first. I'm not gonna argue with you.
I don't think
it works that way, but I'm not gonna argue with you.
Right. Okay. Where will we be without the gyms of the world? Okay. We need
guys.
You know, the average American works paycheck to paycheck. 97% of America works paycheck to paycheck.
Garbage men make good money.
And I understand why people say, "Oh, they're playing a kids' game." But the professional athletes today, man, they professional athletes and news guys, they full time work out. It's much different than it was, you know, 20 years ago.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. One more hour for you. Cubs and Diamondbacks coming up. White Sox about to get underway. Sox have won four in a row, and then Ronaldo Lopez last night, who they came over in the Adam Eaton trade. He's firing 95-mile-an-hour fastballs, looking pretty good. White Sox, go White Sox, Harry.
They look really good, and even if they weren't winning now, I'm kind of cheering. I want both teams to do great. I'm bisexual. I want the Sox to get the first draft pick.
Right, so you want losses.
But it was fun seeing them sweep the Houston Astros.
Well, they swept the Astros and they beat the Royals last night. Both the Astros are going to the playoffs. The Royals are trying to get to the playoffs.
And Yoan Moncada, with the game-tying home run with one out in the ninth, and then he hits the walk-off to get the sweep, it was terrific.
Did you see what was going on Thursday night, Bears and Moncada, when he was doing his magic and Mitch Trubisky was going nuts? Twitter was going crazy. Yoan Trubisky, Mitch Moncada.
Both number 10.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There was a whole thing going on here. Two exciting, new, fresh faces.
Ten is a big number in Chicago sports.
Bob Love.
Yeah, one of the few Bulls retired numbers is Bob Butterbean Love.
Ron Santo.
Mm-hmm. Another retired number.
Leon Durham.
Why would you bring that up?
Leon Durham was a good player.
Yeah, Leon Durham let that... would you bring that up?
You don't let things go well, do you?
Carm, they should have gone to the World Series.
It's not all on Leon Durham's shoulders, Harry.
It was a ground ball.
He had Gatorade on his mitt. Listen, I was 11 years old. He ruined my childhood, but I can forgive Leon Durham.
It was a ground ball.
It was a ground ball. All right, fine. I take it back. I apologize for bringing up Leon Durham.
Mm-hmm. But no, but 10, Dennis Hall was 10. Patrick Sharp is 10. Tony Amonte, 10.
Yeah.
Big number in Chicago.
Right. All right, here. So I was doing some overnights this week. Last Sunday, Harry, I get off the show, and I'm going, as I've mentioned, my girlfriend, we went to our first ever movie together. It was after the show. We went to go see...
How long have you been dating her?
This is 5-6 months, something like that.
And you just now are getting to the movie?
Yeah, because we do fun things.
You do... Movies are fun. What country are you from?
Come on.
Come on, let's go to a movie. It's one of the first dates.
Too expensive. Wait,
too expensive?
Yes. It's like $13 a ticket to go to a movie.
Jeez.
I mean, come on.
It's very expensive to go to a movie.
I mean, I'd way rather sit at home and watch Ozark or whatever that's hot on Netflix than go to the theater. However, I do enjoy going to the theater. So we went to see Dunkirk.
Yes.
Which was awful, by the way. Did you see it?
No, but it's.
I didn't think it was. It wasn't awful, but it was. It did not live up to the billing. I'm sorry, not a Dunkirk guy. But so listen, Harry. This is a key question for you and to the listeners. Now, if you listen on the overnight this week, I apologize for the redundancy here, but I wanted to bring it to the daytime audience as well. She packed a whole situation to go to the movies. Okay, we had Skinny Pop, we had Milk Duds.
Mm-hmm.
We had Starburst.
Mm.
We had a big cookie. We had a half-drinking bottle of Perrier. All this in a little sack coming into the movie theater, right?
Yeah.
We get in there, and she asked me, will you get me a Diet Coke? And of course, I'm, you know, the gentleman that I am, I say, of course, I'll get you a Diet Coke. But I go up and get the Diet Coke. How much is the Diet Coke at the movie theater, Harry?
$37.
$7 for a $7 for a Diet
it's
Coke.
Like buying a beer at the ball game.
So I'm sitting there.
She's worth it.
Of course she is.
It's a lot of money.
Of course she is.
Right,
but
a Diet Coke.
But so now I'm in a situation where I'm assessing what's going on.
You think she should have put the Diet Coke in the bag?
Exactly. How do you pack the Skinny Pop, the Starburst,
the big cookie? You should be thanking your lucky stars that you know this girl, let alone you get to sit next to her for 2 hours. She packs all these snacks, including your favorite Starburst, and you're going to sit here and whine like a Pinot Grigio that she didn't pack her Diet Coke, that you actually had to go buy something? I'm surprised that the movie theater doesn't, like, frisk you and keep you from bringing in all that stuff.
Is this...
And Skinny Puff better than Skinny Jeans.
312-981-7200. Is this something that you got to look at and question someone's decision making? Because if you are able to have the foresight to get the Skinny Pop,
mm-hmm.
the Milk Dud, the Starburst, the Big Cookie, and
Diet Coke's bigger to bring
and
in,
and the Perrier,
right?
How do you not stuff the Diet Coke in there? Instead, we had to go $7 Diet Coke,
you know,
which is just a travesty of humanity.
The Diet Coke is better cold, over ice. There's something about getting the Diet Coke at the theater. You know, treat her right, man. Treat her right. Don't you want this relationship to last longer than 40 minutes?
I got her the Diet Coke, Harry, and I absolutely stepped up and did what was required. But in retrospect, when you think back about it, I think that there can be an argument made that if you're really going to take all that effort and have all these snacks, you should have put the Diet Coke in there. I think that there's something off there, Harry. This is a situation. 312-981-7200. When you think about that whole the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
was this a major faux pas? I think it's a major faux pas.
My wife was on the whole bring snacks to the theater thing years ago, and I used to be like, oh, come on, it's fun going up to the counter and stuff. And now, you know, things are, you know, a little different. And I think it's smart. And you can go to Walgreens and get like 3 packs of snow caps for 40 cents, you know. And at the theater, they're like, you know, $38 for a pack of snow caps. So I mean, I think it's smart that she's packing a bag. You should be complimenting her, not complaining.
847 texting in, Mark, you really whine about everything in bold. Grow up.
Was it Joe Madden's fault that she didn't pack the Diet Coke, Carm?
Harry.
Yes.
If Harry Tynowitz
right.
was going to the movies,
mm-hmm.
and like I get going to the movies, like you want to have the movie popcorn.
Yeah,
even though it's
popcorn is a thing.
Popcorn is a thing. You want it
right. Raisinets, it doesn't matter if you get them in Walgreens or CVS or at the theater.
Mm. See, again, the fresh popcorn. There's no the fresh Diet Coke,
but it's cold. It's over ice. You know, you put it in a can and you get there. It might not be as cold.
815 texting. I hope she's listening and drops you like a hot potato.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very nice, Carm. It's Lisa. I hope she knew ahead of time that you're going to be talking about this today, or you're going to go to the show alone next time. I don't know if she's listening, and I did not talk about doing this ahead of time, for the record.
By the way, movie is something that I kind of like doing alone. I prefer to go with, my wife or with a friend. But if you go see a movie, and I go see a movie, we see the exact same movie. Whereas if we go see, like, a concert, we could see, like, a totally different concert. I would never want to go to dinner alone. You're sitting there and you're just sitting by yourself, not talking, not hanging out. But go to a movie, you know, you walk in, you sit down in the dark. That's not a bad thing going to a movie.
Well, that's
alone.
My point. That's why we haven't gone to a movie for 6 months, because we like to talk and have conversation, Harry.
But early stages of a relationship, I think for your first date, you want to talk. You want to, like, do dinner and sit on the same side of the table. But I think movies are fun because they're instant conversation afterwards. You don't have to, like, force conversation.
But then, you know, okay.
You could talk about the movie. Talk about other things that the actor has been in or other, you know, movies that reminded you.
I'm such a good conversationalist, Harry. I don't need a movie to spark conversation.
I can imagine. You're such a great conversationalist. All right, so this other time, I was playing a 61-year-old in tennis, and I was down 4-2. But I broke his serve.
It's funny that you say that, because last night we went out for my birthday. Like, the first thing was, we were on the walk, I started doing this whole tennis thing. And I saw how disinterested she was. I'm like, okay, I'll move on. No more tennis tonight. My bad. 312-981-7200. Should she have packed the Diet Coke? Let's see here. Let's go with John. Let's get John in here. John, welcome to WGN.
Hello, how are you?
We're great, John.
My question is, should be spending more attention on what she's wearing and what she's doing and instead of what she's carrying and what she's needing. So the women are really specific on how they dress and how much time they spend to get to go from one place to another place. And if you're noticing where their Coke is going and what you have, you're not paying attention to the full deal. So you're going to the movies with a human being that changes.
It's a
chain reaction. You have no idea where it goes.
And John, to your point, you know,
I don't think John has a point.
No, I think he's saying that most women, and you know, it's true of some guys, but most women will prioritize their physical appearance. And she had the time to think of you and John, to pack your favorite candy.
John, she looked beautiful. I noticed what she looked like.
What was she wearing? How was her hair done?
She was.
Go, Perry Mason.
Thank you for the call, John. Appreciate you. She was.
And bottom line, this is, you know what? A Diet Coke does taste better in a movie theater. You know, I never drink warm Coke.
John, $7?
I don't care. I mean, it tastes. I'd rather have good Coke than crappy Coke.
Good Coke than crappy Coke. All right, John. Right. You're a styling guy.
Well, you know what? Life is life.
Life is life. Thanks, John. By the way, she is listening, and she didn't bring one because I hardly, let me read this text, ever drink Diet Coke. And when I do, I prefer a fountain. So she is listening, and she prefers the fountain. But so, okay, we could have easily, if we had thought ahead, we could have gone to a 7-Eleven. Why not we?
She's the only one that was, I mean, she was obviously, you were never a Cub Scout. She was prepared.
She was prepared.
She packed multiple refreshments, including beverage, including your favorite candy, and I just hear you moaning.
I'm pointing out that as great, as an amazing, incredible, beautiful.
Dan, you got some tap dancing?
Thoughtful, sweet. Extraordinary person that she is.
Back to the phones.
She should have.
I'm not buying it. She's not going to buy it.
She should have had the Diet Coke.
This is good. We got women calling in. This is excellent.
All right, let's put a woman on the line. Let's see here. Let's go with Judy. Judy, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hello, hello. I just wanted to say it was a test and you failed miserably. It's not about the Diet Coke. It's about you thinking about her as much as she thought about you, and to whine and complain about a $7. I mean, oh my God! I've been married and with my husband longer than you've probably been alive. And we were dating in college. We shared things. We shared the bill when you both have no money. But he went out of his way to do nice little things for me, and that's what that Diet Coke was. You blew it.
But Judy, I got the Diet Coke.
But you are moaning about it. You are
right,
such a baby.
Judy.
If he were like a horse right now, we would have to take a rifle and put him out of his misery.
He's a cheap ass. He's a cheap ass. I mean, my God,
Judy. Why don't you think about it the other way? What rational person would pay $7 for a Diet Coke?
You're missing her point.
Get over yourself. I mean, seriously.
Judy.
Thank you. You're right. He's missing the point. He's missing the point.
Movie in 6 months. Money is no object. She's not saying take me to the Lady Gaga concert in the second row.
Why can't we have our cake and eat it too? We can go to the movie, have an amazing time, and not pay $7 for a Diet Coke. Cake and eat it too.
Why don't you take your accountant with you next time? He can just keep track of everything. And really, Carm,
I love Darren. He's a great man.
It isn't about the Diet Coke. He's still not getting it. It's not about the Diet Coke.
And you're talking about this on WGN, so you write the whole thing off anyways.
Well, I didn't know it. That's not the point, whether you can write it off or not write it off. Judy, you're the best. Thanks for the call.
I thought you were Jewish.
I am Jewish. What are you saying about Jewish people, Harry, you Jew?
I'm saying that you write it off.
I missed that part. Right. Get a good accountant, the whole thing, you write it off. I got you.
I recommend Anthony J. Kirk.
Is that your guy?
Uh-huh.
What about my guy Darren down at the tax shop in Missouri? I lived in Kansas City for a while. Did you know that, Harry? I lived in Kansas City.
Are we on the air there?
610 Sports Radio, yes. Ooh.
Back to the phones.
What do you want to...
Carm is upset because after 5.5 months of dating this awesomely cool, very beautiful girl...
The greatest.
Who puts up with his constant talking about himself and his...
Whoa. Constant talking about myself.
Tennis.
I don't do it that often.
Well, how often do you start your conversation with her by saying, what's up with you?
I do it all the time, Harry.
Yeah.
I like to get deep. I like to get deep in there and just find out how the day was. But we'll move along here. Alyssa.
Hi.
Welcome to WGN, Alyssa.
Thanks. I think this conversation is hilarious to start with. But if you get into those deep conversations, maybe you should have known that she likes a Diet Coke every once in a while and planned ahead on that. I mean, to have these conversations, like when you've been married for 15 years is one thing, but like you don't want to just now be focusing on that after all the thoughtful things she did for you.
That's true, Alyssa, but like, see, that's the thing. People don't put their goods on the table early on. So you're talking about bringing out the Diet Coke in 15 years. Here and now, I am being a truthful, forthcoming. I don't like paying $7 for a Diet Coke at a movie theater. It's on the table.
But
I will get it for you because you're the greatest.
If you weigh out, is it more important for you to make the point about a $7 Diet Coke or that she went through all that effort to pack, you know, your treat?
And are you telling Alyssa...
Popcorn was incredible.
Are you telling Alyssa and me that in the 5 months you've been dating her, she's never had a Diet Coke?
She doesn't drink a lot of soda. She really doesn't.
Likes that fountain Diet Coke.
But she likes the fountain Diet Coke. I learned that.
If you guys get married, I think you need to serve that to everybody.
That's a great idea, Alyssa. Thank you so much. Fountain
You're
Diet
welcome.
Coke at the wedding.
Wait a vodka luge.
Thanks, all Alyssa. Right. Appreciate it.
Have a chocolate fountain.
Thank you, Alyssa, for the call. You know what I think is the key to a good wedding, along with a nice fountain Diet Coke, apparently?
Mm.
You need the late night Portillo's after
something
the meal, just the double cheeseburger or the grilled cheese, something sitting there.
I've been at weddings where they've had like a McDonald's. JD brought out McDonald's like at midnight. You have a sweet table at the wedding? We had a sweet room because you know how I love sweets.
That's amazing.
We had a sweet room.
What was in the sweet room, Harry?
What wasn't in the sweet room?
I wish I had been invited to your wedding so I could have gone to the sweet room. Let's get Bonnie in here.
We did have two Wrigley Field beer vendors there.
Who did you have? Lee Cook and
William.
You had William Dennis and who?
I don't know the other guy.
You don't remember the guy's name at your wedding from Wrigley Field, the vendor.
Right. So if friends wanted booze or soft drinks, they could go to the bartenders. And if they wanted beer, they had to go through the beer vendors.
How awesome is that?
And the beer vendor's like, hey, Don, you don't want a Bud Light. You want Bud.
Start your night off right. Make it a Bud or a Bud Light. That was me, Harry. That was a great slogan when I was dominating Section 237 at Wrigley Field.
I wonder if Crane would let me beer vend now.
Who?
Crane Kenny.
He'd let you in there Let's make a call. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bonnie, real quick, since you've been patient, I want to get you in here before we got to take a timeout. Go ahead. What's your thoughts on this Diet Coke extravaganza?
Oh, boy. first of all, I think we know that you really like this girl. Happy birthday, by the way, Carm.
Oh, thanks, Bonnie.
You know, I think we all partake of this sneaking in our own little snacks because we all know how outrageous it is, and you feel like you're getting ripped off when you pay $7 for a Coke. But I think we've done you a big favor because now she'll probably be thinking more of how much can you put in your purse? But I assume that she's getting all this in her purse, right?
No, I think we just had a bag, little shopping bag, whole legit.
You're kidding?
No, they just looked the other way.
They didn't check.
No, okay, they looked the other way.
You're lucky on that. Yeah. Oh, okay.
If it's cold out, you can go hoodie and you get like the pouch.
Yeah. you can do more when you have a coat on. But I think we've done you a favor.
Well,
my first thought was, you're going to have to buy this girl, this lovely girl of yours, a brand new bigger purse so she can sneak in both the water and the Coke.
Bigger purse.
Yeah. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, but then you don't want to look too obvious. She was thinking of you, but I think now this conversation has opened up the door, and then it's going to be easier next time.
We're just
It'll be another 6 months before you go to another movie, right? I hope the movie was good.
Perhaps, but maybe not, Bonnie. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you.
If you want to go upscale on the purse, I recommend Helene Treger.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of a Helene Treger. Is that a thing?
Yeah, she's got like the jeweled top on the purse.
Ah.
Well, does your girlfriend have a name, by the way?
That would be Chelsea, yes.
Chelsea.
You want to get, you know her name, Harry. You want me to say her name on the radio?
No, I didn't know if it was kosher to bring it up.
Yeah. Well, we can call her by her name. By the way, 312 says, Carm, quit treating your girlfriend like a vending machine. That's not what's going on. Quick time out here, 720 WGN. WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz with you till 7. Amy Guth coming up. Amy
Guth.
Guth jumped out of a plane this week.
She's insane.
She is, I think she called it the greatest experience of her life.
Well, that's only because she hasn't been in the movies with you.
She's just cool.
She really is, isn't she?
Jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, that is cool, okay?
Amy's jumped out of a plane. Violetta Podramedic, who, of course, does traffic on the Rokan show, has jumped out of a plane.
And there's several people who would like to throw you out of a plane without the chute. Only kidding.
Jennings, aggressive on a Saturday night.
Oh, come on. Will you lighten up? Jeez.
But I think you're accurate on your take there. I think people actually do want to throw me out of a plane, David, and that's not very nice.
You know, empathy. Empathy, Mark.
Empathy.
Tell
him,
Harry. It's empathy.
Right. It is empathy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotta have some more of it.
What was the story this week about the guy who jumped off the plane as soon as it landed? Like, he was nervous and he just, like, opened the door and, like, jumped off?
I didn't see that.
That's nuts.
All right, so we're moving on to another hard-hitting topic here. August 21st, Harry, you know what's coming up?
August 21st, yeah, that is the celebrating 10 days since your birthday.
That's a great idea, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this thing that's called the solar eclipse. And a WGN,
mm-hmm.
I learned this week, and we're hearing promos now, is actually covering the eclipse.
Hell yeah.
Steve Grzanich, opening bell, and of course on the Steve Cochran Show doing news, is going down to Carbondale, Illinois to enjoy the eclipse. Dave Schwann, who does news here at WGN, is going to the solar eclipse. The world is getting fired up for this solar eclipse. It's going to cover them. It's like the American eclipse. Did you know that it was the American eclipse, Harry?
I don't know. I did not know that.
On August 21st, the great American eclipse will descend upon the United States, casting its shadow from coast to coast for the first time since...
Since 1999.
1918.
Wow.
And perhaps one of the biggest astronomical events of the decade, astronomical, whatever it is.
This is the biggest thing since Thanksgiving and Hanukkah started at the same time.
Okay, so this is a situation. First of all, Harry, do you know what a solar eclipse is? Can you explain to the listeners your science talents? What is a solar eclipse?
For you youngsters out there,
yeah,
it means don't look directly into the sun.
That's not exactly sure. That might be a tip to what to do.
It is when.
Hold on, Jennings. I want to see if Harry knows it, but then you can.
Okay.
Because you're the news
I'm
guy.
I'm sure Harry does know.
It's when the solar system. Causes the sun to...
The solar system causes...
Mm-mm. It's not the solar system.
It's not the solar system. Harry, would you like to guess again? 312-981-7200. Who wants to help Harry on what a solar eclipse is?
And it's when the White Sox sweep the Astros.
0-2.
Dave, what is the solar eclipse?
What is a solar eclipse, David Jennings?
It is when the moon passes between the Earth and the sun.
Doesn't that go on all the time?
No.
How come?
They don't line up right.
What do you mean they don't line up right?
Each entity has its own orbit. The moon orbits the Earth in turn orbits the sun, and it's only at set times, and it's been laid out in charts by scientists, astronomers,
when
the sun will directly be between the Earth, the moon will be directly between the Earth and the sun. So you will see the moon slowly in its orbit pass right in front of the sun, which is why it goes dark in the areas that will be covered by that total eclipse.
I don't know if you explained that accurately or not. I think
you accusing him? You calling him out?
Well, no, it was just a lot of words there. The moon, apparently, Harry, is spinning around the Earth, and the Earth is apparently spinning around the sun.
No apparently involved. They do. This isn't allegedly. It's they do.
Hey, Dave, I've heard allegedly the world is round.
According to you, Jennings, with the moon spinning around the Earth and the Earth spinning around the sun, but you're saying that it never lines up except for these rare circumstances, like all the way back in 1918 when we had the American eclipse 8/19/18. Now we're having it in 2017. Every 99 years, apparently, this happens. Is it going to happen again in 99 years? Is it a consistent 99-year thing? What do you got on that?
The last eclipse of the sun was June 8th, 1918.
Uh-huh.
There'll be one on the 21st.
Yes.
Let's see. When will the next one be after that? I have to do a little research.
Right.
July 2nd, there'll be a solar eclipse. July 2nd of 2019.
But I'm talking about the American eclipse. I want to know if this is a regular 99-year phenomenon.
Yes, Harry?
David, is there a better Pink Floyd album than Dark Side of the Moon?
No.
312-981-7200.
There is not.
Are you looking forward to the eclipse? Will the eclipse change your life? And by the way, people say, and Jennings, maybe you can help me with this one. People say that you can't look at the eclipse, like you're going to go blind.
You don't look at the eclipse directly, and if you do, you do run the risk of losing your eyesight.
You can lose your eyesight.
Seriously.
So I'm just...
Yes, that's not a joke.
Right, I'm with you.
So if I'm walking around on the 21st and I just, you know, I'm living my dream and all of a sudden I'm like, wow, it's such a beautiful day. I want to look up and just say, look at the sky, it's beautiful, and all of a sudden there's an eclipse, I'm going to go blind?
Let's just say your dream will become harder to find because you won't be able to see it.
So it's going to be dark in the middle of the day. Is that what's going to happen?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It'll be like you're in Alaska.
How dark is it going to be?
Like night.
For how long?
Briefly. It's not a lengthy period of time.
Is this important?
It's a major astronomical event.
Does this mean that there's perhaps... interstellar perversion, somebody attacking the Earth at the same time? Could this be the end of the Earth? Because I know that there are some theories about that, David. Do you think that this could be the end?
Harry?
I
feel your pain.
You're supposed to lighten up, Jennings.
I feel your pain, Harry. I so feel your pain.
Hey, you know. Hey, will Diet Coke still cost $7 at the movie theater on the night of the eclipse?
Oh, yeah, Diet Coke, okay.
So let me get this straight here. In 6414 texting, in 600 million years, the moon will be too far away from Earth to have an eclipse. Think about that, Jennings. Did you know that? Will, if there was a day game going on in the middle of the eclipse, would they have to turn the lights on, or could they play in the darkness of the eclipse?
They'd probably have to turn the lights on. Hell, they turn them on when the sun is out at Wrigley.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, here. I mean, I think...
There's a candy bar called the Eclipse. I know that.
I'm wondering if this show...
I've had a...
do we need to go on the road, Harry and I, to Carbondale or to, like... I hear, like, St. Joe's, Missouri is...
Carbondale is one of the biggest party towns in America.
So do Harry and I need to go? I mean, I don't know if we can trust this, to be honest, just to Steve Grzanich and Dave Schwann. Maybe we need to go too. Patty Vasquez, I think, is going too. So it could be a whole situation.
Oh, by the way, since you did ask, the next total solar eclipse, July 2nd, 2019, December 14th of 2020. The one in 2019 will be in the southern North American hemisphere and much of South America and the Pacific. In 2020, South Africa, much of Southern America, not the U.S., this will be the last one for the U.S. for a while.
Right.
So there's 2019, 2020, 2021, and 2023.
I'm losing interest. I'm going to be honest.
Well, I was going to say, if you're going to push for us to go on a trip, let's not go to Carbondale.
Where do you want
to
go?
Let's get a Cubs schedule out.
We can get a Cubs schedule.
How about the Blackhawks opener? How about going on the Blackhawks road opener?
That'd be awesome.
Take listeners
but
on the road.
But this is an historic event, Harry. You're missing the...
Yeah, so is the Blackhawks road opener.
The next eclipse that will be seen visible in North America will be April 8th of 2024.
Would you rather watch the lunar solar eclipse of August 21st?
No, it's a solar eclipse.
Would you rather watch the solar eclipse of August 21st, 2017, or would you rather go to the Blackhawks opener? 312-981-7200. Would you rather watch the Cubs play baseball or the solar eclipse? Does anybody really care about the solar eclipse? These are my questions right now. I'm very interested as to...
Yes.
If I'm gonna, I don't want, you know, I get FOMO, fear of missing out.
David, another question for you about the eclipse. Okay, the song "Total Eclipse of the Heart." Why does Bonnie Tyler have that raspy voice?
Total eclipse of the heart.
I have no idea why she does.
Hold on a second. There's apparently something going on tonight. There's a meteor shower tonight. Although that person just hung up. Okay, fine. We can do.
I think that's the Perseid meteor shower.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Steve's got advice for us here. Very important. Steve, what's up with this solar eclipse, Steve?
Hey, from listening to the lady that's in charge of stuff at the Adler Planetarium and good old Tommy Boy the other night, when it's a total eclipse for those couple minutes, you can take your glasses off and have a good look. Check out the colored rings around the sun and coming out around the moon, but when it's a partial coming across, that's when it's way, way brighter, and you better have your little cardboard glasses on.
Right, that's the question here, Steve. Like, why, if it's dark, why are my eyes in trouble?
Well, dark is your pupils adjust.
Yeah.
And
but it's when
the darkness, but it's not going to get like nighttime, especially up here. Even if 10%, 15% of light comes through, that's a lot of sunlight.
Okay, and Steve, shouldn't the Bears start Mitch Trubisky right away?
Right, Steve.
Oh, why not? I enjoyed watching him the other night. Hell, if they're only going to win a few games in the year, why not start him?
There you go.
Like the other quarterbacks, not all, I shouldn't say.
Right, Peyton Manning did that.
He'll end up getting hurt anyway.
Mitch or Mitchell, Steve?
Unless the line holds up.
What should we call
it? Did good for him the other night.
Steve, Mitch or Mitchell Trubisky?
Oh, I don't know. I just kept hearing Trubisky.
Well, we're trying to figure out if we should call him Mitch or Mitchell. What would you be
your name? Oh,
no.
Mitchell's too formal. It's Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mitch.
There you go.
What about Walter Payton, Steve?
You got one guy.
Yeah,
you're
Walter Payton was more with respect. This guy hasn't gotten the respect yet.
Richard,
maybe
want to be
later it'll be Mitchell.
Richard Butkus. Dan.
We call him
Daniel Hampton. Right. Right. Of course we do.
Steve, thank you.
You got it. Bye-bye.
I don't want to go to Carbondale for the eclipse. We're losing interest in this 7 minutes into the conversation. We don't want to go to Carbondale.
But maybe we could learn something on the drive, Harry. Get to know each other, that all of a sudden we have an experience that we never thought we would have. You need to open yourself up to the possibilities in life.
What don't I know about you?
There's lots of things you don't know. I don't know. I
know you graduated from Iowa.
That's true.
You once got a date arrested.
That's true.
Her parents were there in the jail when you left while she was still in jail.
That happened, yep.
I know that you
loved... Game 4, 1993 NBA Finals for those lacking... Why do you have to bring that up? That's not nice.
It's because I know it about you.
Yeah, no, we got arrested. We were thinking about sneaking into Chicago Stadium. We didn't actually do it. I told who I thought was a scalper that we were thinking about it, and then he asked me what I was doing, and I told him I was thinking about it again, and then he brought out his handcuffs, and next thing you know, I got to know the Harrison Jail over there on the west side. It was awesome.
I've never been in the Harrison Jail.
Jordan at 55 saw none of it, but I did meet the photography guy. Ever tell you about the photography guy?
No, tell me about the photography guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Do we have time for the photography
guy? Ever tell you about the videographer at my sister's wedding?
No.
Oh.
The photography guy, now we're into a whole tangent, but we're all in this cell, and basically you had...
He has a camera?
Well, we had a bunch of dudes who had like tried to like sneak into the barn and like had like climbed the fire extinguishers to get in to see Jordan. They were in there. I was in there with my sorry thought about going in on tickets that weren't mine and got arrested, which was ridiculous. And then the cameraman, he had made a fake media pass to get himself into the stadium to take pictures of Jordan that he wanted to sell. So here's this dude who creates this fake media pass. He gets in old Chicago Stadium. The media entered in
3.5.
Gate 3.5. He gets through gate 3.5. Greatest gate ever.
Great gate.
He gets in through gate 3.5. He wants to get pictures of Jordan, though. So rather than just being in and seeing the game, he plops himself right under the basket. And then they're looking at the passes, they look at his pass, and they figure out, oh, you, sir, have snuck in here. And they send him to jail. So now he's telling the story in the cell. Now, everybody in there who was like just dying to get in the stadium to see Jordan in the finals against the Suns. And he was in. They were like, wait a second, you were in the stadium? Yes, I was in the stadium. You were in the stadium. Yes, I was. But you wanted to be on
the
floor. You wanted to be on the floor. They couldn't believe it. And so there was basically a whole dance party in the cell saying, like, the cameraman wanted to be on the floor. He couldn't sit in the what was affectionately dubbed in that particular cell, the mezzanine. You could have just chilled out in the mezzanine. He could have been in the mezzanine.
Cameraman's the kind of guy that looks directly into the solar eclipse.
Camera guy looks great tie-in, Harry. Great tie-in. Gooth's coming up.
Gooth.
Gooth, 720 WGN.